Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine. As together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. I want to say a big shout out to all of the people who are giving feedback with the different shows. I'm getting lots of comments from people in many different countries who are really enjoying the conversations and the guests who are coming on and sharing their stories. So thank you very much for letting us know that it actually means something and that people are getting a lot of information and inspiration, I guess, from sharing their stories. Today, I don't actually have a guest today. It's just me. However, I do want to share a learning framework that I developed a couple of years ago. And the reason why I want to share it is because every time I talk it through with other educators or parents, they all want a copy. They're like, oh, this is so good. Can I get a copy of that? So for those of you who are regular listeners will know that every week with whatever topic I talk about, I write a very short article or sometimes publish resources, I guess, that match the different topic of the show. So if anyone's interested in finding any of the archive shows, you can find it on the webpage. So bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. And then when you get onto that master page, you can scroll down and then you'll see all of the archive shows. And when you scroll lower, you'll find all of the articles that match the shows that have been published. Some of those articles have resources in them that you can just pick up and use. It doesn't cost any money. It's just there. Basically, the whole point of this podcast is to really just get things out there and just share openly, share. Nothing is asking for any money or anything to that effect. It's literally just inspiring and sharing our stories. So for today, I have the learning framework, which at the time I had called ISBE, Experiences and Expression Learning Framework. And the reason why I said ISBE is because humans or humane, mankind, we are all that is and all that ever shall be. Like we are an ISBE. We just don't need to be doing anything. We're not human doings, we're human beings. And I really feel that this translates over into what education and learning could, should look like and be. So the purpose of this framework is really for a stepping stone. And I had the lens of Western society, parents and educators, not necessarily something suitable for global because so many different countries are doing things in many different ways. But it was to try and help bridge that gap between the current product or process around our mind and the indoctrination and the imposition of overthinking, really, that model of teaching where we're pretty much just telling children this is what you have to learn, and that imposition, which really is some sort of indoctrination when you think about it. And also it's very heavily towards just teaching subjects, whereas learning can happen at any given time. It's life. It's literally life. You could be learning cleaning your teeth at the sink, cooking a meal, gardening outside. You are learning so much in everyday events, in everyday things that we do. So you don't have to have a person that's an expert tell you what it is you need to think and learn. What we could be doing or should be doing, really don't like the word should, but it is the word that is most suitable for the moment, is to encourage children or adults or young adults of any age, really, to find the learning from themselves. Learning is innate, it's already in them. So it's to have that person there as a mentor to help draw that out, what it is that they already have inside them, because we are quite intuitive. So this learning framework is an intuitive heart-led process. So it's getting out of the mind, out of the thinking, which can sometimes cause a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety when you're stuck in the future or stuck in the past, and go back into being and being in the present moment. And the framework really does champion just learning. It's not championing teaching at all. It's a shift in the lens in how we see things and how we do things. So it's really meant as that bridging tool to guide, and it's to really honor that personal sovereignty of the learner, whatever age they happen to be, and in whatever subject or activity that it is that they would like to learn about. And the intention is, of course, to inspire all beings to consciously experience life and express themselves and pretty much just progress authentically in their own passion. So whether it be music or art or maths and physics, like whatever it is that seems to be the passion of the person who's the learner, it's really honoring that and allowing that expression and for them to have experiences and setting up those experiences. So in the framework, and I know you don't have it in front of you, so I'm going to try and describe the images, but you can go on after the show and you can download the document, and you can, if there's no copyright on it, you can have it, share it, adapt it, adopt it, do what you will with it. I'm not precious about it whatsoever, but it is simply there to inspire that there could be another way to what we're actually already doing. So on the second page, I actually have foundation stones, and the different foundation stones for the learning is nature, because of course we can't do anything with nature. We are nature. It's part of us. We can't separate ourselves from nature. Even though some people seem to be going heavily down the techno route, and they're really embedded in addiction to AI and that whole transhumanism movement, that's personal choice. And if they choose to do that, that's fine. But we really can't separate ourselves from nature. So that whole heart coherence, think about light and fractals, frequency. Definitely our emotional mastery comes into that. The quantum, water. There's so much we can learn about water. The memory that water holds. I mean, most of our bodies are actually even water. Flora and fauna, resonance, frequency. I think I've already said that. Senses, recalibrating and resting and recharging. Of course, doing that in nature where possible. I mean, it's just sitting with your back up against a tree can do wonders, because a forest, when you break down the word, is for rest. For rest, Forrest, forest. When you go into a forest, it feels like it is resting, and it does actually recalibrate everything about you. So learning about nature really taps into also learning about yourself. And of course, there's so many other things that we can look at in that space. The second foundation stone is knowledge, something which we're pretty much all over anyway. I mean, that's where most of the education already leans towards, is learning the subjects of maths and science and technology, and history and all of those sorts of things. And even though not all of the facts that we know right now necessarily are truth or authentic, we're always finding and discovering and new things, and so things will always change. But there are certain pieces of knowledge that people need to comprehend, particularly things like governance and law, not LAW, law, LORE, so natural law, universal law. Also, knowledge about how to learn, how to create, how to attract, certainly the power of our words, going back to the true meaning of our language, because that. Social media and just our social programming probably in the last 20 years, I think has really changed a lot of the meanings of words just in our everyday life. So there are a lot of people today that do not comprehend what it is that they're actually saying when they're speaking words, because we're literally creating our reality. Definitely knowledge about, energy mastery and time, space, reality, financial literacy is really important. And anything else which we probably don't even know. I don't even know what I don't know at this stage. I keep discovering new things. Every couple of months, I find something out and just go, wow, this is amazing. So it's just not being stale and not being stagnant and having that sense of the fact that we don't know everything. So we need to keep that open mind and be authentic enough to be able to go, hey, I was wrong about that. Let me consider this perspective and shifting our lens. So that would be the second foundation stone. The third one is to communicate, and communication is vital because communication really links very carefully to relationships. And in my opinion, relationships is everything. It's relationship with yourself, relationship with family, relationship with the community around you, relationship with nature, the cosmos, the universe. Everything has some sort of synchronistic relationship. And yes, we live in a duality world at the moment. There's black and white and dark. There seems to be opposites are definitely here at the moment. But I truly believe that we're heading towards a unity consciousness, and things are really shifting in that space. And how we are communicating is really shifting, and it's something that needs to be really prioritized when we're learning, and when particularly young children, for them to consider how are they communicating instead of us just going through life by default, because frequency and harmonics is very important, but our body language says so much at the same time. It doesn't even have to be the words. You don't need any words sometimes to be able to communicate. Communicating with animals and nature and the elements. Definitely telepathy. There's a lot of different schools. I was watching a video the other day about India where they have schools where they're teaching children how to speak telepathically. And it's fascinating to see that these things are happening and it's becoming more mainstream. Of course, communicating through the arts, music's a language as far as I'm concerned. Respecting other cultures and customs, regardless of where you are on the planet, definitely respecting every single race and their culture and customs, and considering just because I communicate in a certain way does not necessarily mean that that's the right way to communicate with a different being or a different person that has a different background to what I do. So it's considering that communication styles, which really links into conflict resolution. Resolving conflicts, you don't even have to resolve them if they don't start in the first place. So having that contra I'm trying to think of the word. My brain is just going so quickly because it's got so many different ideas. You don't even have to have a conflict if you are communicating really clearly and authentically and honestly. So that energy transference and that knowledge transference can happen on many different levels because let's face it, we are multidimensional beings. Our body is an antenna. It gives information, it receives information, definitely not only through thoughts, a little bit like radio waves. And why aren't we talking about this in schools? Why are children not realizing what it is that their bodies are and the fact that we have that electrical, magnetic sense of self? Particularly when it comes to our thoughts being sent out and being electrical, and then also our emotions being like a magnet and drawing to us. These things are game changers with the way that we communicate and go through society and life when we learn about these sorts of skills. So communication is definitely a foundation stone in this framework. I probably should have started with saying the whole main part of the framework is really about yourself, self-mastery, nurturing your own purpose, your own being, and who you are. So, in every single foundation stone, you keep coming back to who am I? What am I? What are my preferences, my gifts, my talents? And that self-governance, having self-accountability and responsibility to be able to respond ably to any situation. Because sometimes we can't help a situation that's thrown at us, but we can certainly have control over how we choose to respond to it. This also links to our values, our perspectives, and honoring other people's perspectives, because everyone's looking at something from a completely different lens, and all of them could technically be right from the angle that they are standing. Learning preferences, I could go on, body, mind, spirit. I mean, there's just so much out there in this space, but everything in this learning framework is basically shaped around the person themselves who is the learner, so that they can have that self-mastery with all of these other foundations. I know I'm speaking really quickly and giving you lots of information, but when you see the document and have it in front of you, there's lots more detail that I'm not even talking about that's on here. I have three more foundation stones. One is create, which we know you can sew, you can cook, you can build, you can design, act, write, draw, paint, play, grow, innovate. Create, let me see, hands-on skills, metaphysical skills, technology, pathways. You can sing, you can hum. There's just so many ways that we can create. And definitely creating is something that needs to be back on the table as a priority, because that is, in my opinion, something that does pull us apart, a step apart from technology. Yes, a lot of the AI technology does a fantastic job with helping people to create. But when you're creating from your heart space and not your head space, it's completely different flavor. And it's definitely something that is something to honor and to cherish, I feel, and to champion. Connection or connecting is the other foundation stone. So that's connecting to community and nature, animal therapy, sharing circles, like definitely sharing circles. That comes into your leadership and your mentors. So really your listening. That also really fits into sexuality and relationships, spirit merging, all of those sorts of things. So connecting fits in quite well with communication, but they are actually very separate, in their own right. And then the last one, of course, is to contribute. Contribution is really understated. And a lot of the research out there shows that when children feel connected and they feel like they are doing something for a purpose and that they are contributing to a greater cause outside of themselves, then they become very engaged in what it is that they're doing. So instead of saying, oh, let's just do this activity, you're doing it for assessment to get an A, B, C, D, or whatever label it is that you're going to judge them on. Instead of that, if they were going to be doing the activity, but the activity was for a certain purpose, it was going to help others, it was going to be used in the community, it was going to be shared with other people, then that really does make the learning more valuable and also deeper. And children in particular will learn and hold that learning. And retain that learning, whatever it is that they learn, deeper, because it has got meaning for them, because it does make a difference. So finding their passion and purpose, but then sharing that and having that service, not only service to self and service to others. I don't actually like even saying service to self and service to others these days. I've been personally saying those words for many, many years, but I'm sort of at the stage now where we're not here to serve. So I want to take the word serve out of it. We're here to contribute. We're here to contribute because we want to. We're not here to serve other people, because that gets us into that whole martyr archetype where you have to serve other people, and often at the expense of yourself. So the wording and the languaging around that is actually really important. But the contribution could be linking into, teenagers having apprenticeships or internships, community projects, community gardens, sharing chores or workloads around wherever the learning environment happens to be. The good old-fashioned bartering barn, which I've talked about many times before, I won't go into it again now, but basically developing and sharing your gifts or whatever it is you're learning, going and sharing with it with others, or perhaps even becoming a mentor for others to teach someone else what it is that you learned, which we all know deepens the learning again. It's a whole nother field. So everything I've just shared is pretty much the basics of the foundation stones for this learning framework. But then this, how does this look? So the next section that I have is actually the ecosystems of learning, because we do have different types of ecosystems, and there's no set age group, because I don't believe you can put a label in an age group saying you must be in this year level or you must only learn this because you are this age. Really, in today's society, seriously, like we really need to get away from this, because you can learn from children or adults or people from all different ages. It's healthy to learn and mix up the age groups. But having said that, what I've done is I've actually grouped this into three different ecosystems. The first one is playtime. So ISBE playtime, basically, which is approximately around 2 years of age, pretty much a toddler, to around the age of eight. So, and what I mean by ecosystem is the predominant way for them to learn is purely through play. And as we know, research has shown us that up until the age of around seven or eight, that child has received and learned everything that they need and has pretty much shaped the majority of their personality that they will be when they're an adult. Even though you can change it, it's very different because it's hardwired into who and what they are, their very essence when they're a child. So learning through play, we know, gives deeper learning. So it's essential learning. And we actually start from tapping into the heart. They can learn that self-mastery over their feelings and emotions. Definitely have mixed age classes. You can do lots of walkabouts, nature walks, excursions and farm stays and lots of play-based learning based on the child's interest and what interests them. So the adult basically would help create the ecosystem or create the environment for them to be able to learn. But it's all about growth. It's not about judgment and grades, sitting down and doing pieces of assessment. It's just gone far too far for those young children. And I know you've got countries like the Netherlands who are really all over this. And you can see the results speak for themselves when you look at how happy and healthy the children are in that country. So the next ecosystem I've got is adventure. So you go from playtime and then we go into adventure. Now, this is where you have to have the fundamental learning. And I've loosely grouped it around the ages of around 9 to 14, although that wouldn't be set, I mean, concrete, of course, but that would be a guide. And with the fundamental learning, this is where you would do lots of inquiry or problem or skills-based learning. So lots of, tinker sheds or hands-on learning that's real and applicable, solving a problem, investigations. And the children will apply whatever they learn. They have to apply that knowledge somehow in a real context. Once again, you could have mixed age classes, and you could also have children teaching each other. So that peer learning is really important. Focus on the learning, not the teaching. So it's focusing on what it is that they're learning, because one size doesn't fit all, of course. The children at this stage, it's really important for them to become literate. So to learn and know how they learn before they can really progress to the next stage, they need to be able to master the basics of the numeracy and literacy, pretty much. Mastering their own emotions and their energy. And once again, same sort of things with adventure, lots of camps, lots of farm stays, lots of internships or community projects. So lots of choice electives could be available for them. If you have, for example, I've seen this done really well, where a learning environment might have set literacy and numeracy activities, and then the rest of the day has a lot of different choices that they could adventure and express and explore with lots of different topics, I guess you could say. The adventure would also have student committees where the children get to learn to decide and make decisions for themselves. So lots of sharing circles, those sorts of concepts. And then, of course, daily chores. They can't expect other people to pick up after them and clean up after them. They need to learn that responsibility of cooking and cleaning and growing food and all of those things from that from the start. So having that connection to earth, to country, to nature is really vital in that adventure stage. Now, the last ecosystem that I had is basically 15 years and up beyond. You know, there is no age limit really. You can be 80 years old and be in the exploration stage. So we had playtime, then adventure, and now we're in the exploration stage. Now, this is more purposeful learning. So this is because you've got that sense of self, and having that sense of harmony and being able to communicate clearly with other people, other beings. Including, you know, animals and pets, and connecting into your own passion. So mixed age classes, collaborative projects, students could mentor each other. You could possibly have adults that can mentor that are experts in a specific field. Student committees, lots of leadership and governance, and learning how to have that at a higher level. Lots of community service, and connecting into that project-based. Passion-based projects, I guess. Apprenticeships, on-the-job training, entrepreneurial projects, and farm stays, once again, is also really great to continue on because having that connection to where does your food come from and having connection to land is really essential. So in the exploration stage, there would be not a set curriculum or classes for every single child. You'd have to sit and negotiate what it is that is their passion. So if someone wants to become an engineer, well, then there's a lot of things that they need to learn in order to go in that pathway. And then that's going to direct how they're going to explore and what they're going to learn compared to someone who wants to be a professional musician, for example. So there can't just be an imposing curriculum that's just going to put everyone in mediocre and teach to the middle. You can really get that deep mastery level. In the exploration stage, if the person chooses it, there's possibly extension for extended specialized study. Like if you want to be a doctor or a surgeon or something like that, then obviously it has to be specialized study. But that's a completely different pathway that might be to someone else who wants to be an actor on a stage or an author, something like that. So I hope this is sort of making sense. I'm giving lots of information. But when you see the document, you'll see that there's actually lots more written on there that I'm talking about. But it's a really great framework to be able to look at and play with. So the whole rationale of this is for everyone to learn how to know themselves and also to be able to play and communicate with everybody in harmony and explore in order to create from their heart space and get out of their head too much thinking and honor that personal sovereignty of other people. So, and how we go through that in society is going to be a huge shift and change to be able to do that, to come back into that unity space, that heart-to-heart coherence, and be able to create in the present moment. So, growth and progress, is essential rather than judgment and someone outside of you judging. And then, of course, frequency beats strategy. So, your state of being, because we are creator beings, if you're a really healthy place with your state of being, then everything that you create around you is going to be amazing anyway. So that's really important. So it's really not competition and judgment. It's more linking into that interdisciplinary curriculum approach, I guess. Hope this is making sense. I'm on the homeward stretch. So the next section in this document is really the phases of creating and learning. And this is more for the adult who is the mentor or the educator. So if it's a parent that's homeschooling, or a teacher or a guide or a tutor, whatever label happens to be, this would really certainly help. And the intention is really to inspire everyone to consciously experience life with passion. Express themselves authentically, and then to be of service to contribute to community, to themselves and to community. So the step one is pretty much your state of being. Before you can learn anything, you really have to tap within, consider your harmonics, your frequency, your vibration, your emotions. Are you in a good emotional state? Because we know that emotions can compromise the learning in our brain. So being in that peace energy and having a healthy body, that means natural light, decent rest, healthy food, so we're not hungry. I can't concentrate when I'm hungry. I certainly can never learn anything new when I'm hungry. The environment's properly there. You know, we're sort of in alignment, and we're also not thinking of the future and worrying about the past. We are present here and now. So state of being is number one level in the phases of creating and learning. The second phase is to activate the heart space. Heart intelligence, your intuitive awareness is important, but it's the caring and the purpose which taps into the why. Why the heck are we learning this? What's the point? And this also taps into the relationships. What relationships do I need or will I develop in this learning process? So lots of questions here to ask questions, and to really honor how you feel and consciously work in that space of why am I doing this activity? Why am I looking at this investigation? Why am I learning this? So state of being, then activating the heart. The third step is imagination, because nothing happens unless it's actually imagined first. There's just so much amazing stuff going on around us, but the imagination is really activating that subconscious and our intention. It can be visualizing, you know, back with your senses, sounds and smells and senses and sense of balance. There's so many different senses. There's not just five different senses. There's body awareness. And imagination is usually something that can be done in solitude and can be done in silence. Because I don't know about you, but my best ideas are usually when I'm alone in the car or walking on the beach or when you're just sitting. That's when the ideas and the imagination comes. You have to get rid of all the distractions. Put the phone down, turn the radio off, and just be in order to activate those imaginations of whatever it is that you're choosing to learn or create or investigate, whatever it happens to be that's in that learning situation. The fourth step is action. There's no point thinking about it and having analysis paralysis if you don't actually do anything. So you have to set that intention, plan those goals. Get the equipment and sequence and research, learn the skills, collaborate, co-create, seek your mentors out, go and get your resources needed, focus, apply, play, create, seek your feedback if you need it, if the whole thing's turning into a disaster, space the learning out, follow the synchronicity, pivot if required. If it's not working, then okay, let's go back to the drawing board and try again and create and reflect. This is very important. And in my opinion, this is pretty much where a lot of the schools in Western society today start. They just start at the action. Basically, a lot of teachers, and I've observed this for the last 30 years, just say, this is what we're doing today. Do, go, do. And there's very little consideration for the state of being and the activating the why. It is done, yes, on a small level, a superficial level, across the board. And I'm not judging everybody, but I'm just saying this is what I have observed in different countries and through lots of different conversations with educators in across many different countries. It's the action seems to be where schools seem to be at. And you have to do the action, of course, but that state of being, activating the heart space and the imagination are just as important before it's like the fertile ground before you physically plant the seeds in order for the learning to grow. And then the last stage, because there's five stages, is the impact. The impact is where you share the learning, you know, you uplift the community, you add value, or you get to teach what you've just learned with other people. You show gratitude or reflect on the learning. You celebrate your success. Share it. Don't be afraid of the consequences and then share. So that what impact did you and your learning or your investigation or your questions, whatever it happens to be, what impact did it have? And that is really vital. Rather than doing things just for the sake of doing something, it's coming back to that impact, which is vital. So, the last part, which I'm not actually even going to go into, is I have an entire page on questions, self-guiding questions for those five stages: the state of being, activating the heart, imagination, action, and impact. There's self-guiding questions that the learner can ask themselves in each of those stages. And then there's key coaching questions for mentors in each of those stages to help prompt if you are there to guide somebody else. And it's a really useful tool, in my opinion. And so that, ladies and gentlemen, is the learning framework that I designed a couple of years ago. I hope that some of that information was useful. And if you are interested in getting a copy of that, you can go to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined. That's where you'll find the landing page on the website. If you scroll down, you'll find all the archives shows, and you scroll down further towards the bottom of my page, that's where you'll find all of the matching articles. And this article will be called ISBE Learning Framework. When you go to print it out, it's in A3 because there's a lot of information on there, but print it out, share it, enjoy it, adapt it, adopt it, do whatever you want with it. Just have fun with it. And that's it for our show for today. So thank you, everybody, for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.